Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
The next key for any good leadership is effective spiritual warfare. Effective spiritual warfare. If you are going to amount to something in God, you must understand warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are wrestling against powers and principalities, thrones and dominion. And the faster you understand it, the better it is for your preparation. No spiritual leader will come out unhurt if he or she has not prepared effectively spiritually. The battle between the Philistines and the Israelites in the days of Saul was not just a physical battle, but it was a battle to show the supremacy of gods and deity. Goliath represented the strength of Dagon, the power of Dagon, and the armies of Israel represented the power of the Most High God. But because they didn't know God enough and they were not effectively prepared in the realm of the spirit, they reduced the battle that was supposed to be won in the spirit to a physical battle. And so when they saw a gigantic looking Goliath, well decorated from his head to his toe, they became so much afraid because they could not, by way of comparison, match what they saw in Goliath. But when David, who was not equally physically prepared like they, saw Goliath, he saw beyond the physical and knew that this battle is not man's, but it is God's. And he clearly said, God will put him in my hand and I will kill him. It will take God to put your enemy in your hand for you to be able to defeat that enemy. So, if you are going to lead well, you must understand effective spiritual warfare. The presence and the tolerance of evil in any area of your life will steal your rest or disturb your resting place. I'd like you to know that the presence or tolerance of any evil in any area of your life will steal your rest or will disturb your resting place. When there is sin, power is dissipated. When there is sin, power reduces. When there is error, it reduces the capacity of a successful spiritual warfare. And so if you tolerate evil, if you tolerate sin, if you allow it to gain grounds, the activity of Satan will increase and the activities of God will reduce. And what makes you a victor in any battle of life is how the activity of God is around your life. What are the operations of the Spirit around your life? So if you will tolerate evil, if you will allow the presence of evil, errors, sin into any area of your life, you are indirectly conceding grounds. You are indirectly giving the enemy an edge over you. Satan told God something about Job that is interesting. He said, because you have built an edge round about him. Now that shows us that Satan before now had been attempting to deal with Job, but he couldn't find any ground with which he could gain access to Job's life. And so that tells us how Job was fortified. Even though he was wealthy, even though he had wife, even though he had children, yet he didn't forget his relationship with God. So his age, his fence, his defense mechanism was intact. There was no hole anywhere, even though the devil attempted to bore holes everywhere. But it wasn't possible. Solomon said, he that breaketh the edge, the serpent will bite. It didn't say if the serpent break the edge, he would bite. But he that breaketh the edge, that means that it takes you to break your defense for the enemy to gain access to you. Praise the Lord. So be careful. Another key to a good leadership is keen sense of timing. Keen is spelled K-E-E-N. Keen sense of timing. You are conscious of divine timing and divine programming. Keen sense of timing. David prayed a prayer and he said, teach me how to number my days so that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. And let me say that every wisdom that is going to be fruitful is attached to time. Wisdom on its own will amount to almost nothing if the sense of timing is not applied, a correct sense of timing. In Ephesians, the Bible says, therefore, let us not walk as foolish. Let us walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. It is foolish for a man who ought to be in primary one not to know that by this time I'm supposed to be in primary one and I'm still enjoying nursery rhymes. No matter how beautiful the environment of the nursery school and the classrooms are, if the man doesn't understand that by now I ought to have left this level to another level, he will remain at a mediocre level. So a keen sense of timing. Joshua missed it here. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And before we read that, I'd like you to write this down. God is a God of schedules. God is a God of schedules. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Scripture says, for everything there is a time and a season for divine purposes on the earth. If you don't understand this, you will bypass God somewhere. A keen sense of timing. Are we in Joshua chapter 13? Now Joshua was old. Take note of the word old. And stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. And there remained yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remained, all the borders of the Philistines and all Gashuri. If you read down, you will see God describing the things that ought to have been conquered that were never conquered. Remember in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I have given it to you for your possession. Not I will give, I have given. So all Joshua needed to do was to look for places he wanted and just drop his feet there. Praise God. But the Bible says Joshua became old. Time waits for nobody. Whether you choose to fulfill divine mandate now or not, you will get old someday. But I'd like you to be careful that you don't become older than the work that you were given to do. Praise God. Because that will amount to failure and disappointment. I like Caleb. In Joshua chapter 7, he went to Joshua and said, 45 years ago, I was 45 when Moses sent us to go spy the land. And I came back, I brought a good report in spite of the evil report that my colleagues brought. And then Moses gave me a promise that that particular portion will be mine and my children and my children's children perpetually. And now Joshua gave me that land. For even though I am 85 now, as I was then, so is my strength now. Praise God. Now that's a man who understands timing. So don't get older than your work. There is a time to rightly do the work of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly involves or encompasses so many things, including timing. There's a time to tell a people a particular kind of thing, and there's a time not to tell them. Praise God. There's an age you can teach your children a subject and they understand, and there's an age you teach them and it will confuse them the more. So you understand it. There's an age you give your child an advice, and that advice becomes the reason for that child to be corrupted. You are opening the child's eyes to something he never thought of at that particular point in time. Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them. What if he started telling them those things? Maybe he would have lost them even before the time to tell them came. He tried it in John chapter 6 and told the multitude of people that were with him, apart from the disciples. He said, anyone that wants to follow me must be ready to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And more than half a dozen deserted him. He said, this man wants to turn us to human and flesh eaters overnight. Who can bear this? This is absurd. This is out of this world. What is he talking about? Doesn't he know that we are Hebrews? That we don't even eat animals that are strangled, let alone eating human flesh. And the Bible says they left him. Only his disciples remained. At that point, the disciples were matured enough to be able to contain with such a strong language. If you watch some videos, before you slot the CDs in, they will tell you this movie has strong language. Praise God. And so it is not every brain that will be able to understand it. Some they will write PG, parental guardians. Some they will write N, nudity. Now, that's to give you a description of what you are about to see. So, there is a keen sense of timing for any good leadership. You may have desire to do it, but ask yourself, is it time yet? I've had a few persons come to me and say, sir, anywhere I go, they said, you are God's servant. You have an assignment to do for God. And I say, sir, I'm confused. And I said, why that may be true, that God has a work for you. But you should ask yourself, God, when? Praise God. And you know that God would never send you on an errand, only through people. When he sends people to tell you, he will also find a way of telling you by yourself. So that what others will be telling you will be a confirmation of what he has already told you. Praise God. And again, when you have that message, when the right time comes, you will begin to see this supernatural urgency in your spirit to do it. Praise God. It is there. Except you begin to suppress it. For instance, it was prophesied, revealed, that I was going to be a pastor when I was still very young. In fact, in my primary 3, primary 2. What if I left school that time at primary 3 and started pastoring? Maybe by now the devil would have killed me. Praise God. But even though the prophecy was hanging there, there was a time for it to be fully manifested. And so you don't go somewhere and you are told that you are supposed to be a pastor, and then immediately you run to your office and resign your job and then carry one big Bible and then look for one under three or one classroom block and open it and call it Jesus Called Me Ministry International. Praise God. And then you begin to look for members everywhere, including on other people's members. And say, you need to come to my church. This one is Jesus Called Me Ministry. All others are not called. And then before you know it, hunger will come. Starvation will come. And then you begin to ask God questions. You must apply the correct sense of timing to whatever you are doing for God and with God. Did you understand that? Areas to develop for a leader. Areas to develop for a leader. Number one, develop your walk with God. Your walk with God, your relationship with God. The safety of the people that you are leading will hinge or will depend largely upon your spirituality and sensitivity to what God is doing and what God is saying. The safety of the people that are under the influence of your leadership will be dependent on how sensitive and how your walk with God is. Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Woe unto any nation whose king is a child." Now, whose king is a child has nothing to do with the age of the king, but it has everything to do with the experience of whoever is called the leader. So you need to develop your walk with God as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a leader. Develop your walk with God, because the safety of your children, the safety of your marriage, the safety of your family will depend upon your sensitivity to the things of God. That you will be active and alive when the devil comes in to take that which is yours. David understood it and saw a lion came and took one of his father's sheep, and he pursued after the lion. Delivered his father's sheep from the mouth of the lion and killed the lion. And he lived to tell the testimony. If a lion shows up in your marriage, in your family, and you have not developed your walk with God enough to withstand the lion, it will end a victim. Or if you are very smart, you will escape. And there will remain so much casualty. Hallelujah. So, areas that a leader needs to develop is his walk with God, your relationship with God. You must prioritize it. Develop your mentality, your spirit man, that you know how to go even when the odds are against you. Amen. If Jesus had not developed his spirit man, he would have given in to the dictate of the flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took three of his trusted allies, three of his trusted disciples, further into the garden to help him pray. And the Bible says he prayed until the sweat from his body became like droplets of blood. He told them, "The spirit indeed is willing, but my flesh is weak." And when he came to them, he found out that they were asleep, fast asleep, dead asleep. And Jesus said, "What, couldn't you watch with me for just an hour? I brought you here to bear me up in prayers, and you're already dozing at me." At that point, he was left alone. If his spirit man had not been developed, he would have given in to what the flesh was telling him to do. So develop your spirit man, because a time is going to come that the seduction of the devil will rise so high. But it is the maturity that you have developed over time that will be able to defeat the seduction of the devil. Let me say here that you cannot overcome the seduction of the devil with low integrity. Praise God. The high seduction of the devil cannot be conquered with a low integrity. in wilderness while Jesus was fasting, the devil says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread. That was a high seduction. Seduction is what makes you do what ordinarily you wouldn't want to do it. Praise God. And so you cannot overcome the high seduction of the devil with a low maturity, with a low integrity, with a low capacity. You've got to understand that. Develop your calling. Develop your gift. There are people that are walking about with empty shields of calling. I don't have a doubt. There is no argument. God called you. But what have you done with the call? It is not the call that will make a way for you. It is not how genuine your call is that will make a way. The Bible said the gift of a man makes a way for him and bringeth him before kings. So develop the call, develop the gift. Paul says, I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I am not qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. He said, yet I labor more than they all. I labored. And we could see the fruit of his labors. He wrote almost 2/4 of the New Testament. When you read any Pauline epistles, you will just know that this thing is written by Paul. Praise God. For instance, the book of Hebrews. Bible scholars have not agreed on who the particular author is. But majority of the Bible scholars believe it was Paul that wrote it, based on the language that is used. Praise the Lord. Develop your gifting. Develop your anointing. Develop your grace. Develop your character. And develop your faith life. Praise God. It's important. Don't just stay there and say, God has given me this. I was born with it. There are some people that pride themselves that I come from a family of prophets. My great-great-grandfather was a prophet. My grandfather was a prophet. My father, too, is a prophet. And now, me, I started seeing from my mother's womb. Praise God. If you don't develop it, you will see a devil and call it God. If you don't develop that thing, there's no argument that it is there. The calling of God is generational. When God puts his oil on one, he intends to make it perpetual. But you know that there are some families whose great-grandfathers were native doctors. That call was perverted by the devil. And so they have this ability to see. He can tell you this is what is going to happen, and it happens. God expects that you take time to begin to grow that grace. Work on it. Study. Otherwise, it will be raw. Raw things are good, but refined things are more expensive. Amen. Raw gold don't cost as refined ones. Crude oil is good. With crude oil, you can have all the petroleum products, PMS, DPK, and all the associated products with it. That's what crude can offer you. But it is when you refine crude that you'll be able to have all of those fragments or fractions. Praise God. In chemistry, we were taught a separation process called fractionalization. That when you put it, it begins to divide or separate into different stratas, into different products. That's what refining does to you. That's what training will do. That's what development will do. So don't use the gift raw. It won't help you. A modern language for development is packaging. Praise God. Package yourself very well so that what you have can be accepted. There are places you go and you need to preach the word of God and nothing more than the word of God. And the truth is that when you present the word of God, it cannot be argued. It is only when you want to present your doctrines, your beliefs, your dogmas, that's when argument will begin to come. But if you present the word of God, argument will reduce. Nothing can be truer than the truth. Praise God.
Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain, magnify his name, to tell all the people and every nation that he reigns. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand up on the mountain and magnify his name, to tell all the people, every nation.